Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Livonia, Michigan, and won All-American honors in swimming while at the University of Georgia. She won a gold medal in the 4x200 freestyle in the 1996 Summer Olympics, and then became a world champion in the triathlon and World Cup standings leader in the modern pentathlon. She's the only woman in history to compete in the Olympics in three different sports. Her name? Sheila Tormino. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Sheila Tormino, the only woman in history to compete in the Olympics in three different sports. Sheila, quite a feat, an honor to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Oh, I could go on and on about my parents and you know, my mother and father are still together. They're 87 years old and 83. My father's 87 and my mom's 83. I have a twin brother, but we are the last of eight children. So we grew up in a very close-knit family and still today do everything together. My whole family's gone to every Olympic Games. And, you know, my father worked for Ford Motor for about 40 years. We've been in Livonia and Detroit area our entire lives.
What's the biggest thing, Sheila, you learned from your mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
You know, the two of them together is probably the biggest lesson I've ever, watching them together stick it out through the rough times. My oldest sister was killed in a car accident when she was 21, and with seven younger children, you know, my brother and I were just 4 years old when that happened, and the strain of raising seven children when you've gone through a tragedy like that, I know they went through rough times. I was a little too young to remember that, but they were committed to each other. Their marriage was about staying together forever, and they did that. And I think I admire that in them more than anything. You know, and then as individuals, my dad, his final statement as 87-year-old is, "I am a pacifist." You know, he served in World War II, and of all the things he's experienced in life, for him to be able to sum up his life in four words, I just said, you know, Dad, that's really quite remarkable. And my mom, if I didn't have my mom there, just her voice and the unconditional love and the laughter that we have. And it's just, I'm incredibly blessed to have the parents I have.
Sheila, where did you get your love for sports?
You know, people have asked that. I don't know if it's having a twin brother that, you know, you just make up games and there's that natural fun competition between the two. But I think it is also just how you're born. I always said I just have a body where I like to be physical. I love to move. I've always loved to the dynamic nature of sports and all different types of movement. And so I think it was just how I was born, but then also definitely flourished having a twin brother always to play and compete against.
The seven siblings, were they also great athletes?
Everybody is very physically fit and talented, and they've all done something physical like through high school, but nobody had the real passion of competitiveness, you know, like I had. I wanted to race people too. I never cared about winning, but I wanted to race them anyways. And all of my siblings, they, I don't think, didn't have that spark of, oh, let me keep on competing. So, yeah, but my twin brother swam through high school. So did some of my older sisters, and my older brother did pole vault and football. So they're very, very athletically coordinated, but just didn't want to go into college athletics or beyond that.
You may not have had a passion about winning, but you always won, Sheila. So you grew up in Livonia, and you go to Georgia to swim. Why not the U of M? Why Georgia?
I wanted to get out of the cold. I didn't want to scrape ice off my windshield and then dive into a cold pool at 5 o'clock in the morning. No, but I really considered University of Michigan. The swim coach there, Jim Richardson, is a phenomenal human being and coach, and we're dear friends today. And but I took you're allowed to take 5 recruiting trips as a high school athlete, and Georgia was one of my 5. And the coach down there, Jack Bowerly, we connected as well. But I fell in love with the South and everything I saw that weekend visiting Georgia, and I just said, I think I'm a Georgia girl for college.
You did not make the Olympics when you were 19. You did not make the Olympics when you were 23. Why did you keep training after college and try again at 27?
Yeah, you know, I really thought I'd be finished when I was 23 years old and I went to the 1992 Olympic trials. That was going to be it for me. I didn't expect to make the team there in 92, and I didn't make it. But on the very final night of that swim meet, one of my friends made the Olympic team. And it was that moment, literally, when I watched him make it. He was the first person I ever knew on a friendship type level to make an Olympic team. And I thought, well, he's just an average person. I had always thought people who made Olympic teams had to be superheroes and be born with special gifts. And now I knew someone, and I knew he didn't have anything extra that I didn't have. And on that night of Olympic trials in 1992 is when I started thinking, maybe I could make it. And I knew that 96 was going to be down in Georgia. And as we just said, I was a Georgia Bulldog. And I'm like, how cool would that be? But, you know, it was not just something I said, I'm going to go for it on that night. I took quite a long time. I talked to my college coaches. I said, do you think I even have a realistic shot at all? Because no one would have ever picked me to make it. But I just thought, if I just could change a few things about my mental perspective and how I train, maybe get tougher in certain areas, maybe I do have a shot at this. And so I just put those wheels in motion, and it sure did pan out over the next few years with interesting. It wasn't a straightforward road, but it ended up all turning out perfectly.
July 25th, 1996, almost 14 years to the day, You win the gold medal in Atlanta. Talk about that experience.
Just an incredible blessing to end a swimming career and to have my entire family in the stands. We had 25 people there. And how they even got the tickets is a remarkable story, because normally there's only about 4 tickets available per athlete. But it happened to be on that night that the other swimmers on the U.S. team didn't have a lot of family coming, and they had extra tickets. And so every one of my siblings and nieces and nephews got to be there. And so the U.S. women, we were not necessarily favored to win the gold. Germany was leading off with the world record holder. And they had also 2 other women on their relay who had been silver medalist and bronze medalist in the 200 free, and every girl on this relay was doing a 200 free. We had no one on our team who had ever won a medal in the 200 freestyle before. So Germany was expected to win it, but you know, when you swim in front of a home crowd and you hear the USA chanting, I mean, as I swim, I never have heard a thing in my life, but at that Olympic Games, I could hear the U, and then I could hear the S, and I could hear the A as they were chanting. And it was like it was lifting me up and out of the water. And we ended up just touching out Germany, and it was surreal, but I just remember being like, thank you, God. I can't believe how beautifully this all has ended after a long road of wondering whether it could even be possible.
We're talking to Sheila Tormino, and I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Sheila Tormino, who's competed in 4 Olympics, starting at age 27 in 3 different sports: swimming, triathlon, modern pentathlon. You win the gold medal in swimming, you're 27, and you decide to take up the triathlon. Why?
I actually didn't really decide to take up the triathlon. I did, after 1996, I didn't do anything competitively for 2 years. I bought a camper, got a small business loan, bought a camper, and I traveled around the USA teaching kids swimming and doing school assemblies and corporate motivational talks. And but I also ate McDonald's and Taco Bell and Wendy's during those 2 years. And it was 1998 when I realized I had done a 180 in my health. And I thought, I need to start exercising again. And I just heard about this thing called a triathlon, and I wanted to lose weight and have an excuse to get healthy again. So I just started riding a bike a little bit and running and getting back in the water a little bit. And it ended up, when I competed in my first triathlon, it went really well because, you know, you never really lose the feel for the water. So I had a lead coming out of the swim and had the engine, you know, to be able to maintain it on the bike and run. And so just kind of flowed into that, realized, wow, I've got some potential in this sport, and went into triathlon and made the Olympic team a year and a half later. But I didn't take it up until 1998.
All right. Then you decide to take up another sport, modern pentathlon. In 2005, you sell your house to finance your dream. You've never ridden a horse, you've never fired a gun, and you've never even picked up a foil, all of which you have to do in this modern pentathlon. How and why?
You know, that's, when I look back on it, a really interesting road, that, because somebody approached me and they said, Sheila, do you know nobody has ever made, no woman has ever made an Olympic team in three different sports before? Modern pentathlon's interested in recruiting you. And I said, well, what is modern pentathlon? I'd never heard of it. And they told me it was five sports, and pistol shooting and fencing and equestrian show jumping and swimming and running. So I had the swimming and running, but not the other three. And they insisted that they could teach the other three sports. And it was a unique opportunity. I took a number of months to debate whether I still had any competitive energy left. And I realized, yeah, I do. And I thought, well, this is a unique opportunity I have. And I prayed about it for quite a few months and ended up deciding, let's go for it. And now in hindsight, I wish I had picked a single sport. It would have been a lot less exhausting, like if I had just gone into something like cycling and tried to make it. But learning those new sports for pentathlon was an amazing experience.
You're 35. You've never ridden a horse, shot a gun, held a foil. 2 years later, you were the World Cup champion in modern pentathlon. You're 5'3", maybe 115 pounds soaking wet, maybe less. A lot of listeners tonight are saying, wow, where they've lost their job. Or what they've done their whole life, Sheila, they realize doesn't have much of a future, and they're paralyzed to try to start over and learn something new. What do you say to those listeners?
Yeah, the human potential is unlimited. You know, if we are brave enough to step into new territory, we'll find really where our potential, and you might find your greatest gift of all. You know, because if you've settled into a job that you thought that was going to be the rest of your life, but then all of a sudden you have a new opportunity. You know, they always say, oh, if you don't get what you want, say, praise God, then he's got something even better for me. And I just believe in human potential. And we have a brain, we have a body, and it's all of our choices. We can choose to walk through any door we want. It's an open slate. That, to me, life is an open slate. And a sports psychologist once taught me about the tyranny of the shoulds. He said, you know, we all feel like we should have a house, and we should have kids, and we should have this car, and we should. He said it's keeping people from really living their dreams. And be who you are and how you were made to be, and know that you're so much more than just the few things maybe you thought you were.
A person works their whole life to become world class at something. I mean, to win a gold medal in swimming, that's extremely rare. Yet you've become world class in three totally different sports. Why? And most importantly, how?
Well, the why, you know, I just sort of had addressed that. It was an opportunity, and I'm fascinated by human potential. And the how, I took a lot of my college education. The Pareto principle was one of my favorite the concepts I learned in economics. And Vilfredo Pareto was an Italian economist in the 1900s, early 1900s. He took note that 80% of the people in his country, or 20% of the people, owned approximately 80% of the wealth. And the Pareto principle has come to be known as the 80-20 rule. It's essentially the law of the vital few, that there are a few things that have the greatest impact. And in sports, I really took that to heart. I said, okay, In swimming, what are the vital elements that are going to get me 80% of the way to being a great swimmer? And it's not that we ignore the other 80% of elements we've got to address, but we just know that they don't have near the impact as those vital few. And so when I was taking up the new sports, that was part of my fascination with, is it possible? Well, I first have to learn enough about this sport to identify what are the vital elements that are giving me the biggest bang for my buck. And talking to experts in the sport of shooting, and then also in the sport of fencing and equestrian show jumping, I said, what can I not do without? I mean, and those are what I've got to develop fully. And then if I have time, I'm going to try and develop the other things, and we'll just see. So that was how I really applied concepts like the Pareto Principle and just believed. I believed in potential.
You've said one of the other biggest reasons for deciding to do this was my belief that since God had honored me with these athletic gifts, it was incumbent on me to honor him by using them as best as I knew how. God is very important in your life. What part has he played in your success?
Oh, everything. You know, I've traveled all over the world, and you see a little child in Mexico City, and they're trying to sell you a piece of Chiclet gum for a nickel. And I look in their eyes, I look at their body, and I think, if you had the opportunities I have, you'd whoop my fanny out there, you know? And I feel like just falling on my knees when I've traveled and seen that all over the world and knowing that this is an opportunity and a blessing that God gave me. And for me to waste even 1 ounce of that is a tragedy. If I waste it, then it should have gone to somebody else. And so, you know, I take the blessing seriously and say, I want to work the best I can. And I pray at night and say, God, is this what you want me to continue to do with the energy I have? Because I would be fascinated in going into one of 500 other different, you know, careers in life. I'm frustrated that there's not enough time to do all of that. But I always knew I wouldn't ever be able to come back to sports, you know, 40 years from now. So
if there's a listener tonight, Sheila, that says, all right, I've believed in God, but I've lost my job. I'm on the verge of losing my marriage, my family, losing everything. I'm not sure God is out there. What do you say?
I say he is, and I say his timing is his timing. And there's a great word I learned through the pentathlon. It was a friend of mine when things weren't going really well, my first and second year in the sport, and I fell off the horse a number of times. My friend emailed me. She speaks Japanese, and she said, I saw you didn't do so well in the World Cup last week. But in Japan, we have a word. It's gambare. Gambare means keep trying. Do not give up. Keep fighting. And I love that word, and I think people need to know that sometimes our timing, we want it so quickly, and we give up before it was the what was meant to be for us. And perseverance is an amazing thing where there's a great gift waiting for you at the end if you persevere and never stop believing. And you got to work with everything you have. The hard thing is when, you know, chemically we can be distraught, you know, depression, anxiety. I experienced those tremendously when I was taking on the pentathlon. I cried in my house. I said, what's wrong with me? I've never felt this before. But I'm going to just keep finding out, how do I address this and live life? This is my one life. I'm going to live it with joy and with everything God's given me and just keep fighting. And actually, a contextual meaning for gambare is fall down 7 times, get up 8. And I just really took that to heart, because if we sometimes... we just feel like we've been beaten down too many times, but get up every time because there's a beautiful gift waiting for you.
We're talking to Sheila Tormino, modern-day pentathlon. And Aristotle once said about her, quote, the most perfect sportsmen, therefore, are the pentathletes, because in their bodies, strength and speed are combined in beautiful harmony. And I'm Jack Krasula, and that was Aristotle. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Sheila Tormino, world champion triathlon in 2004, gold medal winner in swimming in 1996, and World Cup standings leader in the modern pentathlon in 2006. Let's talk about breaking paradigms. You're 5'2 or 5'3. you're 110 pounds. You're 35 years old and you decide to start training for this modern pentathlon. And the common wisdom is it takes 10 years to become world class in a sport. Talk about breaking paradigms.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for saying I'm just 110 pounds. You said I was 115 earlier, and that was a compliment. You even dropped it lower. So then I am 5'2 and a half. And when I raced, about 117 pounds. Now I've got.
Well, you were 115 when you had the gold medal in your pocket and you took it off.
Okay. The concept of breaking paradigms is another concept I learned in college as a production management major at Georgia. And that was another thing I applied to sports. A paradigm is a commonly held belief, something we all just accept, a generally accepted truth. And paradigms are rarely contested. People just accept them as being true. And it takes somebody to come along and say, I'm going to challenge this paradigm. And normally a paradigm doesn't change on a continuum. You know, the idea doesn't just morph a little bit. In a paradigm, that what everybody believed, that thinking actually, once somebody comes along and challenges it and disproves it, that thought and that thinking goes out the window completely, and it is completely replaced by a new way of thinking. And so in my sports, I always thought in terms of paradigms. Well, what do we believe? Like even when I was swimming in the 1980s, they believed that female swimmers peak at age 18. From there, your body changes. Nothing a woman could ever do about that, and you're just going to swim slower and slower from age 18 on. And I said, why would we believe that? Who made that rule? What are the reasons why they think a female body changes? What could a female do to change her habits to maybe address the things that come along with natural aging process? And so even back in the 1980s and early 90s, I was trying to break that paradigm. I said, I think I still can get faster through my college years and even beyond if I want. And now we've seen Dara Torres swim and win 3 silver medals in Beijing at age 41, and we've busted that paradigm. And then in the modern pentathlon, taking up, like you had just mentioned, people say you could never learn to jump a horse in 1 year to 2 years. It takes at least 10 years. And I said, well, why do we think that? Is that for a 10-year-old who trains 3 days a week and maybe 1 hour each time? Well, what if I want to train 6 days a week and I want to go for 5 hours each time? Does it still take me the same amount of time to learn how to jump that horse as it does a person training much less? And so I didn't know if I'd ever learn it in time. And certainly I didn't know if I'd learn it to make the Olympic team, but I just said, I want to challenge that belief, see what is possible. And that was and also being older, you know, really being age 36 by the time I really decided to take on the pentathlon, people saying you can't learn those new sports at age 36. And once again, I said, who made that rule? And so we tend to limit people before we even open up the doors of possibility.
Through sports, Sheila, you've been all over the world. What's the greatest city you've been to?
Oh, so many great cities. I'm so thankful to have visited them. And I do tell people, though, that Hiroshima, Japan, was the one that I think had the most impact on me. And they're the city of peace. And obviously, you know, back in World War II, it's one of the cities where we dropped the atom bomb. And their perspective on that now is we're to blame. You know, war is everybody. Everybody involved played a part in this. And no one country or person is to blame for this. We just want people to know it didn't get anybody anywhere. Like they have a peace museum with letters that the mayors of Hiroshima have written throughout the decades to leaders of all different countries saying, please, let's not develop nuclear warheads and let's learn from this. And it's just a wonderful thing. They've taken something that was tragic and in World War II and made real positive out of it. And I just fell in love with the Japanese people and the country and Hiroshima and the city and what they're trying to do.
You've participated in the last 4 Olympics, Summer Olympics. What's the best part of participating in the Olympics?
The best part of participating is if you really remember the reason why we have the Olympic Games in the first place. You know, Pierre de Coubertin is the founder of the modern Olympic Games, and he wanted to bring them back in 1896 was when the modern Games came back, and it was all about world friendship. It was about putting aside our differences for a few weeks, putting aside political, religious, all those differences we have among countries and being friends on a fair playing field. And I've loved that every time I've gone to the Olympics, just seeing the whole world in one place under equal conditions and fair conditions and respecting each other. And that by far just blows me away every time I get to the Olympic Village and see every country represented there. Well, just about every country.
Sheila Tormino, who's your hero?
You know, in sports, I have one hero, really, and he's no longer on this earth. It's Eric Liddell, and he's the character from it's a real life character, but the movie Chariots of Fire is about Eric Liddell's life, and he was the British runner who won the gold in 1924 at the Paris Olympics, and he was supposed to be in the 100 meters, but his event, the 100 meters, fell on a Sunday, and he had such a strong Christian faith, and he said, "I will not run on the Sabbath." And the British delegation kept trying to say, well, certainly the Olympics could be one excuse. You could put aside your belief and just run this one Sunday. And he said, no, I will not run on the Sabbath. And ended up being a true story, you know, that they got him entered in the 400 because he was their star back in those Olympics. And they said, we must have you run in something. And I don't know how the slot was open for the 400, but he ran it and won the gold medal in an event four times longer than what he was supposed to have competed in his forte at those games. And the movie Chariots of Fire just makes me cry every time I watch it because, you know, they set the 400 to slow motion and he's winning. So, beautiful, wonderful story about a man with great conviction.
You've led a glorious life, and life is a series of chapters. And when one door closes, God's got another door waiting. What's your dreams? What's your next chapter, Sheila Tormino?
You know, that is a great question. I have, for the last 2 years since the Beijing Olympics, just tried to be really calm and at peace about finding out where God would have me go next. You know, the experiences I've had in sport, will there be opportunity in those? Or will it be a completely different arena? And for the last year, I've been writing a book, and it actually is at the printers now. And it's about swimming technique, but also about the thought processes. And so more than just swimming technique, it's really about how do we identify the vital elements to have all of our hard work pay off for us. So that's been a really great challenge, writing a book. And based on that, we'll see where things lead. And if not, I'll just keep looking for what doors open.
I'll be your agent here a little bit. The name of the book is Call the Suit, S-U-I-T. And if you want to learn more about Sheila, www.sheilat.com. SheilaT.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Sheila Tormino, who now, amongst other things, gives motivational speeches. Sheila, as you go around the country, what's the basic message of the speech?
For years, it was the talk that led up to how I made my first Olympic team. And I didn't have any corporate endorsements. I was rejected from the Olympic resident team training program to try and make 96. And ended up coming back to Michigan, getting a full-time job in the automotive industry, and thought, I guess I have nowhere to train. But my swim coach in Livonia, who I'd been with since I was 9 years old, he said, I'll coach you again. And I laughed at him. I said, you want me to swim with this little team in Livonia and try and make the Olympics? You know, come on. And he taught me, hey, all I know is that you have a dream and you have nowhere else to go. And, you know, you might not have all these corporate endorsements and fancy training programs and Olympic level teammates, but you've got water, and that's what swimmers need is water. And so, you know, I wanted kids, and I still do that talk quite often, kids to know that anything is possible if you find what things you have instead of looking at all the things you don't have. And then when I made the Olympic team in Beijing and made Olympic history by doing a third sport, I wanted kids to know about breaking paradigms and human potential, and that, you know, never giving up, because when you take on something that's out of your comfort zone, there are going to be tough days. And that's for sure. Many days we want to give up, And the message of Gambare is one that I share with the kids and adults when I do talks.
Regularly, you also talk about the definition of success. What's success?
Yeah, my swim coach in Livonia, Greg Phil, most amazing man. He taught me what the definition of success was 1 week before the Olympic trials in 96. I was really nervous I would go and not make the team, and people would say, why did you try for another 4 years? What were you thinking? Like, you didn't make it during your peak years. Now you're old. What are you thinking? And so I sat down and I just was honest with him that I was really nervous and not sleeping so well. And he took out the plan. We had written a plan on paper 2 years before those Olympic trials. And we could put a check mark by every item in our plan. And he shook my hand. He said, congratulations, you've succeeded. You took what you were given and you worked the best you could and you followed through with your plan, and that is success. Success is not winning the gold medal or even making the team. He said, I've seen the work you've done, and that's what makes me proud as a coach. That's what makes your teammates proud, your parents. And he just lifted the cement blocks off my shoulders in that one breakfast that we had.
John Wooden recently passed, and his definition of success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your best to become the best that you're capable of becoming.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting, a number of the words in his quote there parallel. Greg Phil gave me a quote by Jay Lubbock, and the quote was, when we have done our best, we may wait the results in peace. And he put that in a card to me at the same morning that we had the talk, and I just said, thank you. It's an amazing message. Why have I not been taught that before age 27?
What do you say to a young boy or young girl listening tonight who wants to become a fabulous athlete?
You know, there's a lot of components to that. We need good luck. And anyone who says good luck to you, you say, thank you, I'll take it. Because you need to stay healthy. You need to put healthy foods in your body and hydrate and things like that. But you also need to stay committed, because we want things to happen overnight. And the beauty of the journey is in knowing that I just got one itty bitty step closer to my dream today. I'm not all the way there yet, but I could see the progress that I made today. It's part of my plan. And having an intellectual plan backing up your dream. So often we just say, I want to do this. But you have to sit down and know, well, what are the steps necessary to get there? And then when you're on that route and you have a rough day and something's not going well, still figure out, well, what could I do today to get myself one step closer to that, and never give up on that. So it's a long process. It happens for some people more quickly than others. So just be patient in your timing.
You know, people meet you in gold medal, world champion, World Cup standings leader. But you've really tasted and experienced defeat and disappointment. What did that teach you?
In Beijing, I think I learned the greatest lesson of all of sports that I've ever learned. And it came from my sister, Sudi. She was there. She's 16 years older. And I was getting crushed in the fencing. We were just 3 hours into a 12-hour day. And I couldn't even believe how badly it was going. If you had said it would go this badly, I say impossible to do that badly. And halfway through the fencing, I wanted to quit. You know, I'm a normal human being. I didn't want to continue to feel the humiliation and defeat. And I had a couple minutes to go over, and Sudi came down the stairs and we hugged. And I just said, I wish I could get out of here. I want to get out of here and end this day. And she pushed out of our hug and looked at me and she said, you cannot want. Do not want. She said, it's not the spirit of an athlete to want. It's the spirit of an athlete to fight. And she said, I've never seen you give up, ever. And I'm not going to watch you give up on your last day. And I said, that is an amazing message. What she did was take my ego and help it drain out of my body. Because so often as human beings, athletes and businessmen and political leaders and you name it, we carry a huge ego around with us everywhere we go. And, you know, to be able to let that go sometimes for just the spirit of the fight is really, really the greatest lesson I think I learned on that day.
The most used verse in the Bible, Sheila, is be not afraid. Awful lot of us today are afraid. Are you ever afraid?
I'm afraid far too often, and I need to constantly remind myself about the Bible saying that. You know, in John 27, you know, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And boy, you know, just like I always say, you know, Tide laundry detergent. We all know what Tide laundry detergent is, but they keep marketing Tide laundry detergent because we'll forget if we're not constantly reminded. And you have to read that Bible every day or else you forget the great messages that are in there. So,
Sheila Torman, what are you most proud of?
I have no pride, actually. I could never finish that sentence. I'm not most proud of anything. I'm thankful. I could name a number of things for which I'm most thankful. But, you know, but for the grace of God, you know, my whole life could be totally different. I could have been born someplace without the opportunities, even a different time. You know, women in sports didn't have near the opportunities I had. Just women who are 15 years older than me didn't have the collegiate opportunities I have. And I think, wow, I mean, what a blessing. Thank you that the time was right and the place was right and my body stayed healthy and I had an amazing family. I'm thankful, thankful, thankful. And
last question, what advice would you give our young listeners tonight?
You know, I love the Gambari message to not give up. We have these expectations that it's got to happen so fast because we think in terms of speed, speed, speed now. Everything, computer, chips, to at the gas station pump, you know, everything's instantaneous for us now. And beautiful things take time. And to craft it, get to know what your dreams are and what you were made to do. And just enjoy that whole journey. And along the way, know that every single one of us hits those bumps in the road. And the ones who persevere are the ones that see the gift at the end. That's what I would tell young kids.
Sheila Torminow, you're a great athlete. You're a world champion. But you're even a better human being. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Honored to have you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.